welcome to So What Do You Think, a podcast where we discuss weird and unsolved mysteries and events and give you our completely unprofessional opinion on them. I'm Jay, with me here is Bea.
Hi.
Now, before we get started tonight, I've got an exciting announcement. I got a message from Jess from the Tuesday Night Podcast Club podcast, and one of our episodes is going to be featured on her podcast this week.
That's exciting.
Hi. So the episode is the Snea Phillips one. So from what I can see, this podcast is about she chooses episodes of podcasts that she likes and she lets people know about them so they can go and check it out. So sounds like an interesting podcast. I might have to give it a listen myself and see if there's anything else that leads to as far as new podcasts to listen to, because I'm always in the market for new podcasts to listen to. So yeah, hopefully by the time this podcast of ours goes to air, it will have already been up and happened. So we will see. We'll see how she feels about that episode. So
I'll have to re-listen to that episode. I can't remember it.
That's the 9/11 doctor.
Yeah.
Who may or may not have actually started a new life. One of the few.
One of the few that we think that she actually did start a new life. Yes.
But potentially, yes, that's right.
Yeah. So. Where are you, Snea?
Yeah, exactly. I hope you're living your best life. That's all I can say. Mm. All right, on to the show tonight. So I've been considering covering this case for quite a while now. It's been one of the biggest stories in the media over the last 5 years as far as unsolved murders go. I guess the reason I haven't so far is because there just hasn't been any leads, and it's an extremely frustrating case. And also it just upsets me, the details, because it involves children being killed horrifically. And I just feel like this is going to be quite emotionally taxing, shall we say. I guess I decided to cover it now because there's been some possible movement, and I feel like if it's going to be solved, it might be solved soon. So we should probably cover it. It still seems so far away from it though. So anyway, strap in as we look at the murders of Abigail Williams and Liberty German, Abby and Libby, also known as the Delphi murders. Have you heard about this one?
No.
You might notice it as being familiar once we get into the details, because it is very, very, very well known.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's February 13th, 2017. It's a Monday, but the girls have an extra day off school. 13-year-old Abby and 14-year-old Libby are spending the day together, and they want to go out for the day. So we're in Indiana, in the town of Delphi, and it is winter. It isn't snowing, but it is quite cool, but the sun is shining. So the girls decide this is going to be a good day to go for a hike. Now they convince Libby's older sister, Kelsey, to drive them to a nearby nature area called Deer Creek. This is a common hiking area with quite a few different trails. It's also quite a common area for people to just go and hang out, I guess, a bit of a semi-rural town. The kids like to go and hang out somewhere. So Kelsey drops them off at around 1:40 in the afternoon with the agreement that hers and Libby's dad was going to swing by and pick them up at about 3:15, between 3 and 3:30, and he would call them when he got there and take them home. So the girls set off walking, and they choose the trail that takes them across a really old, incredibly high bridge called the Monon High Bridge. Now, this was not a usual walk trail for them. It is a walk trail, but it's actually quite dangerous to walk across this particular bridge. It's got slats with gaps, and, you know, you could easily fall through it. It's also not part of a greater walk trail, so you just essentially get to the other side and then you're kind of on private land. So I think that eventually you can walk through the bush there and get to other trails, but most people just sort of turn around and come back again across the bridge rather than continuing on. Now, at 2:07 p.m., Libby posts a photo to Snapchat of, first of all, of the bridge, and then of Abby walking on the bridge, looking down, no doubt to be careful not to fall. I don't know if you've walked across these types of bridges before. Can you see that?
Yes.
Okay, so it's sort of like an old railway bridge with the slats, and you've got to be really careful because it's old and it's falling apart and you don't want to fall down it. I remember actually when I was in probably year five, I went and did part of the Bibbulmun Track, which for those who aren't from Perth, it's like a 1,000-kilometer walk trail. And some of it goes across these sorts of bridges. And I remember one of the boys in my class fell through, and he actually was saved by his backpack. It like caught him as he fell through it. So, very, very lucky. So, yeah, she gets a photo. This photo of Abby is the last contact anyone sees from them, and she posts it to Snapchat. So Libby's dad, Derek, shows up at 3:15 and they're nowhere to be found. So he calls them, but they don't answer the phone. Now he goes out on the trails, tries to find them, calls them, no luck, walks around. You know, it's a bit of a area where there's a couple of different trails, so he kind of walks around them. Now, while Derek is walking the trails looking for them, he comes across a point where a couple of trails intersect and he passes a man in a flannel shirt coming off the 501 trail, which is the bridge trail. Derek asks the guy if he's seen two girls up on the 501 trail, and he says, no, he hasn't, but there is a couple up there arguing. Now, because of this, Derek doesn't go down the 501 trail and instead heads down another trail called 505, which goes down to the creek edge. So it's no luck, and soon all friends and family are called to help look. At 5:20, the police are called and the girls are officially reported missing. By 6 p.m., a massive search is underway. Now, it goes on into the night, but eventually they have to call it around midnight and sort of start again the next day, which they do. At midday the next day, the search was continuing and Kelsey was on the trail, so Libby's sister, and she was on the trail that passes under the bridge when she hears someone yell that they've seen a shoe. So someone yells out, what kind of shoes were they wearing? And Kelsey replies with what shoes Libby had on. Now, this person that had seen the shoe had done so from afar. So I think they go a little bit closer, used his phone to sort of zoom in and try and see a little bit better. He sees two deers just standing there. And so he zooms in on the deers and then they look like they're looking at something. So he pans down to the ground where the deer are, and then he sees the thing that they're all dreading. He finds the girls' bodies. Yeah. So we've got this now, got the discovery of the bodies of Abby and Libby. Everyone obviously lets everyone know and they rope off the area. They're laying in some grass between some trees down the bridge embankment and deep into the woods across the other side of the creek. No details are given of how they died, but police were clear that they were certain that they were looking at a double homicide. So thoughts so far, does this sound familiar?
No, it really doesn't.
Okay. Well, thoughts on the case?
There was no couple fighting.
Okay. You think the flannel guy's a bit dodge?
Yeah. No couple fighting.
Yeah. Okay.
That was my first instinct. That was just a convenient thing to say to keep someone away from, finding them.
From going down there. Yeah, I agree. Like, it sounds a bit weird for sure.
Yeah.
But it sounds as though, you know, something pretty horrific has happened to these poor girls. They've gone across the bridge. We know that they were on the bridge, but then, you know, what happened to them after that, we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so scary to me. You know, it scares me so much that there are people out there that do these sorts of things. Yeah. These poor girls and their families. I mean, it must be horrific. So fairly quickly, we have an identikit sketch, and it kind of looks like a middle-aged guy with a goatee wearing an old man sort of cap. I'll show you a photo. So this is the identikit.
Yep.
This sketch is apparently based on eyewitness descriptions of a man walking on the trail that day. So whether or not it's the man, I'm not sure, or I'm not entirely sure why the police decided that this was the thing that they were going to share, but this is what they decided anyway. And, you know, it seems weird to me that, you know, it appears that there were quite a few people on the trail that day. So what was special about this guy is what I want to know. We have another clue that is actually pretty amazing. So it seems that at some point a man approached the girls on the bridge, and we know this because Libby takes a photo of him. So it's one of those cases, I think, where they get some serious spidey sense about this guy and they decide we're going to record this guy. You know, we're going to take a photo of him and see. So not only does Libby take pictures, but she actually takes a video of this guy. I'll show you the picture from the video. Okay, so this is the snap from the video.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are your initial thoughts on seeing this guy?
I wouldn't trust him.
Yeah, maybe a bit shady. He's got his hands in his pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the picture that this is the picture that is taken from the video, they don't actually release the video for 2 years. So we're kind of going ahead in time at the moment. The police release maybe a 2-second grab of this video at some point as well. And it looks as though it's part of a longer video, but for whatever reason, they only give a snippet of it. So this guy and his description has been dissected at length, obviously. And yeah, it's kind of hard to ascertain age to me. I mean, the identikit picture looks like a middle-aged sort of guy, don't you think?
Yeah.
But the picture of the whole body here, that kind of gives me middle-aged vibes as well.
Yeah.
Or an older guy even.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of far away enough to not be clear, but he also, like, you can see that he's wearing a cap, a scarf, a large jacket.
Yeah.
He also looks like his jeans are a bit too big, which I think is like maybe what triggers my older man vibe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, older men kind of sometimes wear the jeans that are way too big.
Yeah.
And his hands are in his pockets, which is a bit dodgy too when you're walking on a bridge. Like, I was always taught if you are walking, never put your hands in your pockets, because if you need to fall, you need to be able to catch yourself.
Yeah.
Now he's looking at the ground as well, because as I said, he's trying not to fall in, I'm sure. So simultaneously you get an incredibly detailed image, but that doesn't actually really have enough details at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's really, really frustrating. Now in the screen grab of the video, it actually, a lot of people, like I said, have dissected this, and you can go on Reddit and all the message boards and people just, there is a lot out there. But somebody picked up that you can actually see, not in this picture I put up here, but in the actual video, you can see the corner of what looks like Abby's jacket. So he's quite close to her at this point.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, 2 years later, the police showed the video. I don't know why they didn't release it straight away. I mean, I get that they've got to hold things back in their investigations, but really I don't see what benefit there was of holding it back. They also release a snippet of audio as well, which was taken from the video, and I will play it for you here.
It's not creepy, is it?
It's not creepy. It's very, very quick. So this isn't from the exact same time as the visual. It is from another point. Apparently the video, the whole video itself was about 2 minutes long, and I can only imagine what was on it. They have said, though, that the murders were not on the video, so that's good. So he says, guys, down the hill.
Oh.
Yeah. So he's basically come up on them on the bridge and made them go like off the end of the bridge and down the hill. So here we get to start to get a bit of an idea of what has gone on here. I'll put it in the show notes, that audio on YouTube. And you know, there's a really great animated recreation of that someone put together of what probably happened as well. I'll put the YouTube link for that in there as well.
Hmm.
So basically this guy comes up on them on the bridge, and they were essentially trapped because they couldn't run past him to get away from him, right? Like, you've got to be careful on the bridge. It's not like you can just go and run past him and get away. So we have to then assume that he is like presented some sort of weapon and made them go down the hill into the bush further.
Yeah.
Terrifying, horrible. Now, it's possible that they did try and make a run for it across the creek, but ultimately he caught up with them, and we know what happened after that. So when this video and audio was given, it was, as I said, 2 years later in April 2019, and they also held a press conference at that time as well. At that time, we ended up with a different identikit. So they've updated it. They've decided, no, it wasn't the guy in the original identikit. It's a different guy. So allow me to show you the new identikit, and we'll see what you think compared to the old identikit. So this is the new identikit. Initial thoughts?
Younger looking.
Totally different guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's someone who's potentially a lot younger.
Yeah.
Doesn't have any facial hair.
No.
Yeah, totally different guy, in my opinion. Mm. Now, it's not known why the identikit's changed, or, you know, where even this one came from at this point. So we just don't even know where this come from. But now we have a completely different identikit to consider. So this guy, we've got him walking. Oh, and that's the other thing too. This guy in this picture doesn't look like he would match with the video that we've got, don't you think?
No, I don't think so.
I feel like the guy on the bridge in the video is a lot older than this guy, and a lot different build as well. I know you can't tell that much by face, but like, Yeah, I don't know. They just don't seem to go together to me. So at this press conference, a plea is given to identify the driver of a vehicle as well, which was left abandoned near the highway at the old child services office between 12 and 5 on the day of the murder. So they've found out that...
You can take his face away now.
I don't like it.
Don't like it.
Sorry. You'll be dreaming about him now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've got a report that there was a car left between 12 and 5 at this building, which is near one of the trails. So things have shifted. We've got a little bit of more information. It's been a couple of years by this point. We've got the new identikit. We've got the video. We've got the audio. So you think that that would really trigger people to remember some stuff. So police tell everyone to completely disregard the first sketch. So to me, like, I'm feeling like maybe they came across this guy and they ruled him out. Like, someone was like, actually, that was me in that identikit, but I promise I didn't kill the girls, you know, like, yeah. They have to have ruled it out in some way, you know, for them to say, no, totally different these days. The case has, of course, not been solved yet. And there is a huge online community, like I said, that just dissects everything.
Yeah.
So here's a breakdown of some of the developments over the years. Now, one of the things that people have been driven crazy over is how the girls were killed, because the police never released this information.
Yeah.
They've never really given anything. And I guess, you know, speculations run wild over the years. However, in September 2020, some supposed leaked text messages hit the internet. They were allegedly between the guy who found the girls and a friend of his. Someone's taken screenshots and put them on the internet. Now, I'll go ahead and read them for you, but I need to make a disclaimer that they've never been confirmed as real by the police or authorities, but they've never been disproved either. The guy who found her was named David Erskine, and he has actually come out and said, yes, they're true. So I think that I can say with somewhat certainty that these are actually the real text messages about how the girls were found. Yeah. So in the text, he says the following: Abby was dressed, Libby was nude, Libby had her top half covered with vegetation. There was no rape, but potential DNA underneath Libby's fingernails, because it seems as though she put up quite a fight. She was attacked worse than Abby. She had been stabbed in the head and neck and just about to the point of decapitation. Abby, although still dressed, was posed on the ground like a doll with her hands. I think that I've heard that this means that her hands were like crossed across her chest. I'm not entirely sure what posed like a doll means though. They weren't bound, but they were posed and they were touching each other. So thoughts on this?
Weird that one was nude and one wasn't.
Yeah, so it seems as though Libby was the brunt of it a lot more than Abby was.
Yeah.
I mean, to look at these two girls, and I don't know whether this is a factor at all, but Abby looks a lot younger than Libby. Libby's like a quite a tall and solidly built girl, so she potentially looks older than she is. So maybe that was something to do with it. But, yeah, it looks as though Libby was the main focus of the attack anyway. I mean, you know, that's pretty personal to just about decapitate someone, I think.
Yeah. I'm a bit, I don't know how to process it.
I know. And apparently there was just blood everywhere. Obviously there would have been. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like some sort of sick fantasy, the way that he's like posed them afterwards as well.
That's the vibe that I'm getting.
Yeah.
The only other thing I can think of is that he was potentially interrupted. So didn't get to do what he wanted to do.
With the other one. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like this is something that would have been planned beforehand. I don't think that this is something that you just do on a whim. I mean, he would have had to have taken a knife and stuff with him, right, to do it. And also taking two girls is quite risky, I think. Like, you're taking a big risk there, because one of them could always just run off,
you know.
It says to me that this is potentially not their first rodeo either in that regard. Now, there are a lot of screen grabs of texts being sent back and forth out there, which, of course, the police, like I said, they don't ever confirm or deny any of it. So some are just speculation, but there are a couple that are quite interesting as well. So one thing that was interesting was that someone who claims to have heard the full video. So this person said, yep, I was shown the video. I don't know who they were. Obviously someone part of an inner circle. And I say heard because apparently after that little visual snippet, after the guy, you don't actually see anything. I think that she might have like put it in her pocket or something like that. So it's just audio after that. Yeah. But apparently it's a 2-minute video where, you know, they kind of film him for a little bit and then they're kind of talking to each other. And Abby asks Libby, like, is that creepy guy still following us? And Libby's like, yeah. Mm. And then they talk about like how they should get away from him, where they should go. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, I just about want to cry just talking about it. And they're sort of saying, you know, how are we going to get away from this guy? And that's when he says, guys, down the hill.
Yeah.
And apparently you can hear a gun being cocked as well. So that would make sense as to how he controlled them both if he had a gun.
Yeah.
So while that's not confirmed, that would actually fit with what we know though. So, you know, it does sound like it could be valid. A few suspects have emerged over the years of who Bridge Guy might be. There was a local guy, 55-year-old mate named Paul Etter, who 2 years later in 2019 kidnapped and raped a 26-year-old woman. He was already on the list of suspects due to an anonymous tip. So in the end, the cops tried to pull him over, which ended up in like a high-speed chase, and at which point, after a 5-hour standoff, he ended up shooting himself and killing himself. So dead end there. Now, I believe that police have DNA, so I've no doubt that we would have known if this was the guy because they would have tested the DNA, but the police have never commented on it and they've just sort of let it go. So to me, this guy raped a woman. He didn't kill her. He didn't rape the girls. He killed them. So to me, that's like the MO is different. What do you think about him?
Yeah.
Don't often go from murder to rape, you know, it usually goes the other way around.
Yeah. And I'd say it's just a creepy guy known. So someone's reported him.
Local scumbag. Yeah.
Local scumbag.
Yeah. Another suspect was 32-year-old man named Daniel Nations, who was a registered sex offender. In September 2017, he was arrested for threatening strangers with a hatchet on a walking trail. At the same time, a bike rider had been shot and killed on one of the trails that he had been terrorizing. Now, I remember this in the early days of this investigation. Everyone was so excited when this information about Daniel Nations came out. Everyone's like, oh, they've got the guy, that's it. You know, and everyone was really, really keen to point the finger at him. And I think that's because he actually looks a lot like the first identikit. So I think that people were really, really keen just to get this solved. But when you look at it, he shot and killed a bike rider on a trail and terrorized people with a hatchet. And he was a sex offender. I feel like that's a little bit chaotic. And I feel like the Delphi guy was a pro. Like, he knew what he was doing. He was controlled. He was calm. Like, they just seem a little bit different. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, again, just another idiot.
It's another local scumbag, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, there's a lot of them around.
Yeah, exactly. It also came out that 15 years earlier when he was 17, his mother had been stabbed to death by her own brother and dragged into the woods where her body was covered with leaves. So I think people were keen to sort of make connections there as well.
Yeah.
So the guy had issues. We're not denying that. And he was questioned by police. Which I'm no doubt fueled the fire. People probably jumped on that big time.
Yeah.
He was ultimately cleared though. So I think we can probably rule him out. We also know that the first identikit wasn't right. So if we're going to take that out of the equation, what's left? Just a local crazy, really.
Yeah.
The next person of interest is Thomas Bruce, who interestingly had once been a pastor before his life of crime. And I say his life of crime, and really it was his day of crime, because he kind of went from like never having a criminal record, never doing anything dodgy, to one day in November 2018, he entered a shop and forced 3 female employees into a back room with a gun where he sexually assaulted them. Now, one of the women refused to comply, so he shot her in the head and then continued on assaulting the other 2 girls. So this guy was not a local scumbag prior to this. And this came completely out of the blue, like I was saying. He had some recent stress. He'd had to declare bankruptcy earlier that year. So it seems as though this might have been like a stress-induced one-off, very extreme one-off, but still. And it happened in Missouri too, which is not Indiana, obviously. So I think people were kind of stretching to make this one match as well. And again, he killed someone, but only because she wouldn't comply with him. He didn't go there with the intention of killing her. So, and he also looked a little bit like the first identikit, but like we said, you know, Also, there's the fact that he controlled women with a gun. So I guess, like, if you go through all of these scumbag cases, like, you can always connect some sort of dots, you know? This guy seemed all about the sexual assault anyway, and the killing was just unplanned and circumstantial. Now, when he committed the Missouri crimes, he was also wearing a flat cap and a jacket, the same color as Bridge Guy, though. So, you know, I can see why people sort of put two and two together there too and got all excited about it. So, yeah, thoughts on him?
No, and it's a different MO.
Yeah.
Yeah,
different.
I think everyone's, because of the, every crime is horrific, but I guess because it's the children, they're young girls, everyone's so desperate and wanting to solve this. So they're just clutching at any slight thing that could mean, oh, it was definitely this person then, because they were wearing the same color jacket, when in reality, anyone can wear the same color jacket.
I know, it's a blue jacket. Like, how many people have got one? Yeah. I've got a blue jacket, for goodness sakes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it really was people just so desperately wanted to solve this case that it's like, you know, what people don't realize, though, that we kind of come across every time we do these cases is that there are so many scumbags out there. There are just so many people it could be, you know? So between 2017 and 2021, it really was just all speculation and internet sleuths desperately trying to find connections. And, you know, so not much happened between those years. But on April 27th, 2021, a new person of interest was announced by the Indiana State Police. He'd been arrested on April 19th for a horrific crime. Now, this is really awful. He lured a 9-year-old girl into his home on the promise that she could pat his dogs. As she entered the home, he attacked her and dragged her down to the basement. Now, God knows what he did to her down there. I actually don't really want to know. Details were never released. But her mother was onto it, and she reported her missing within 30 minutes of her not coming home. And the police went and did door knocks and canvassed the area, and they actually knocked on his door. And he, weirdly, I don't know why, but he said, oh, yeah, yeah, that girl's been at my house, but she's left. You know, she was here earlier, but she went home. So they were like, nah, and they went and got a warrant and came back and knocked his door down, basically. They break into the house, go down into the basement, just as he had choked her into unconsciousness. Apparently, the body cam footage of the scene was so horrific that people that have seen it have had to, like, seek mental health treatment. It was that horrific. So I can only imagine, you know, 1 second later and she may not have survived it. Absolutely horrible.
So she survived.
She lived. She lived, though, which was amazing. I'm sure she's got a lot of issues because of it, though.
Good on her mum for
being onto it. Yeah, and the police as well.
Like, and what a weird guy to, well, we can tell he's a scumbag, but to go, yeah, she was here, that just seems so bizarre, such a weird move.
If he had just said, no, I haven't seen her, they would not have even, yeah, she would be dead for sure. Yeah, so he got 90 years for that, so.
Good.
Yeah, basically piece of shit ain't getting out anytime. So this took place about 20 minutes from Delphi. I'm not sure exactly what linked him to Delphi, but the police were open with the fact that he was a person of interest for the Delphi murders.
Yeah.
Now, he does look a little bit like the second identikit. I don't know whether that did it for them. This was last year, and I remember everyone just losing their mind over it, like it was the miracle that we've been waiting for. Yeah. But obviously they could never connect him, and it just sort of seemed to peter out. I don't know. What are your thoughts about this guy?
They haven't released what else actually happened.
No, they haven't. And your imagination can run wild.
Exactly. So,
I mean, she was in there with him for a little while, obviously, probably at least an hour. So God knows what he did to her.
Yeah.
But again, the girls in Delphi, it seems as though they were killed quite quickly, because, you know, if you just look at the timeline around when they were supposed to get picked up and they didn't show up, that shows that they probably were, you know, with their attacker by 3 o'clock. And then people are walking around from 3:15 looking for them. So it all happened quite quickly. So it does seem as though he kind of killed them very quickly in Delphi. Whereas this guy obviously had her for a while before he tried to start killing her. And would he have tried to kill her if he didn't hear the police storming in anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Again, just another scumbag, a local scumbag, I think. Yeah. Another piece of shit that likes to hurt little girls.
Yeah.
And really, really want it to be connected. It is interesting that the police did come out and basically connect it, though. Although nothing stuck, so I don't know why.
DNA as well, though. So
yeah, that's it. Although DNA isn't enough, as we know, but they've continued on. The police have continued on and looked at other people. So obviously they weren't set on him.
Yeah.
Now, the next case break was December last year. Now, it was discovered that there was a potential catfishing situation in the case. Now, the profile Anthony_Shots had been used between 2016 and 2017 and had the old fake sexy boy picture, but was actually a 27-year-old man named Keegan Klein who lived in Indiana. At the time of the press release last December, he was in jail, having been charged with 30 counts, including child exploitation, child solicitation for sexual intercourse, possession of child pornography, and obstruction of justice. So he was basically a pedophile predator using a fake profile to lure underage girls whom he would rape. So he's an ultimate piece of shit, right?
Yeah.
But it appears that Libby had been one of his targets and they'd been chatting online the night before the girls were killed. Now, let me stress that Klein has never, ever been charged with anything to do with the Delphi murders, but I think that this might be a real solid suspect because there's actual evidence linking him to the girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on him?
Again, the sexual element doesn't come into it, though.
Mm. But like we know, just stabbing someone, just killing someone can be sexual for some people.
Yeah.
And if you do feel like you're about to get interrupted, as you said, maybe he was going to do more, but he just couldn't get there.
Yeah.
And of course, like, you know, they get his phone records and his socials and everything and just like flat out ask him if he was involved. Yeah. And he actually admits that he had been chatting to Libby the night before, but he said that she was annoying him, so he blocked her. I don't know about that. Apparently they looked at his stuff and there was no messages arranging to meet up.
Yeah.
But he did message someone else and say that they had planned to meet up, but she never showed up. So to me, this is sounding like a potential lead.
Yeah, potentially, definitely. More of a lead than any of the others.
Absolutely, yeah. And I can see this, you know. It actually looks like it could be dots getting connected. So he denies that he had anything to do with it, of course. And he says that actually multiple people had access to that Snapchat. It looked as though there might have been a bit of a pedophile ring going on and they were all just grooming all sorts of girls and sharing their information, I guess.
Yeah.
And he said that other people had the password to his Snapchats and everything. So that sounds weird, but, you know, okay.
Yeah.
He also does one of those classic I'm lying moves and that's when they ask him if he planned to meet up with the girls. He said, I don't remember saying I was going to meet up with them. I always find that, like, whenever someone's lying, they don't say, no, I didn't do that. They say, no, I don't remember doing that. You know, it's almost like a way around the lie.
Yeah.
So that's dodgy, right? Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, he wiped all of his devices as well. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of stuff that the police just didn't have access to. They did take all of his stuff. And they did recover some stuff, and that's when they came up with the pictures and videos of children and the sexual images and images of drugs and, like, holding a knife and a gun and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So pretty compelling, I think. As a side note, online sleuths were quick to point out that Keegan's father, Tony, looks a lot like Bridge Guy in the first Identikit. So there are theories that maybe Tony was the real perpetrator. Maybe he was the one using the profile. Maybe he was part of the pedophile ring. But neither Keegan or Tony have been officially charged in the Delphi case since December anyway.
Yeah.
And things seem to have stalled. So they were looking so hopeful for a little while there, but nothing has happened since then. So just a couple of weeks ago, some new information came out suggesting that the guy that owned the property where the girls were found, a guy called Ron Logan, could actually be Bridge Guy. Now, apparently his voice was similar to the recording voice. Somebody actually said, hang on a second, that sounds like Ron. He also lied about his alibi to police, saying that he was at the shops that day and at that time. And he even asked a relative to back up his cover story, which they did not do, evidently. Now, this in itself doesn't say too much to me, though. I mean, of course, they're going to look at him. It's happened on his property. And maybe he was just like home alone at the time and was like, oh, shit, I need an alibi. Otherwise, they're going to look at me more seriously, you know?
Yeah.
Now, Logan was a habitual traffic offender and ended up going to jail for that later on that year and actually died in jail in 2020. So if it is him, we're never going to get justice for it.
Yeah.
So, okay, we've got proximity, we've got similar appearance to Bridge Guy and potentially a similar voice. Now, I'm going to show you a photo. I'm going to show you this photo, and this is the most compelling thing to me. Now, this is Ron Logan next to Bridge Guy.
Yeah, that's...
Same jacket, same hat. I don't know, that's pretty close to me.
Yeah.
It's a bit scary how close it is, actually. That could actually be the same coat and hat.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think about Ron?
Well, he's bloody pissed off about people being on his land.
Yeah, this is a bit more than being pissed off, though, right? Like, this is hunting down two children.
Yeah.
But it gives him proximity. It gives him, you know, an ability to escape without being seen, not having to go back over the trails.
Yeah.
He knows the area well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like that picture is pretty compelling to me.
Yeah, definitely more than the others.
For sure. Now, there's one more suspect we need to talk about, and that is a man named Daniel Pearson. Now, Daniel has never been named by police or even really been a person of interest officially. I came across details about him on a Facebook page about the murders where a profile was posted about him. Now, I'm not sure who made this profile, but originally it used to be the name Daniel Pearson. It's now called Arthur Templeton Peck. If you want, you can go check it out. Whoever this guy is, he has a massive hard-on for this guy being the killer. Like, he has decided he's going to basically dedicate his entire life to bringing this guy down. It actually borders on quite obsessive. Now, it would be easy to throw it out as garbage just based on presentation, but I have looked at it further and I think that, we want to have a look at this guy. So the page author, who we'll just call Peck, started looking seriously at Pearson about mid last year. And like I said, quickly became quite obsessed with him being the guy. Now, the Facebook page is a headache and you definitely need a stiff drink to go through it. But I've done the hard yards here. I've done all the work for you and I have made a summary. So Daniel Pearson was there at the hiking trails that day with his girlfriend, not his fiance, who was another person, but his girlfriend. It looks like he was potentially one of the couple that was seen on the bridge that day. So he says that they arrived at 3 o'clock. Now, he says he saw Bridge Guy pass him, but he was arguing with his girlfriend at the time. So she was distracted and didn't see the Bridge Guy. But they were apparently arguing under the bridge. Now, Peck feels that the arguing that was heard by Libby's dad, Derek, wasn't the couple at all, and it was actually the murder taking place. Now, the issue I have with this is that arguing is not the same as fighting for your life. Like, I feel like an argument between a couple is going to sound different to two girls being terrified to die, you know?
Yeah.
Peck also feels that Pearson looks like the second sketch, but I don't see it.
Yeah.
Also, apparently Pearson's eyewitness account of Bridge Guy helped them form that first sketch, and Peck feels that this is misdirection. So remember, we were questioning, like, how did this first sketch even come about? Well, apparently it was Pearson that gave this description because he says that he saw this guy. So I guess we can say that maybe Pearson did see this guy, but it wasn't Bridge Guy. It was just some other rando in a flannel shirt. I don't see anything nefarious in it. I don't know. I don't know why Peck's got such a hard-on for him. He notes, though, that Pearson claimed to have actually known the girls as family friends, and he jumps on this and says that, you know, he must have targeted them and groomed them on social media and all of this. But this makes no sense to me, as they would have recognized him. He wouldn't be, who's this creepy guy walking towards us? It would have been, oh, it's Daniel, what's he doing? You know, they knew who he was.
Yeah.
So to me, this theory holds no water. It's a guy who thinks that he's solved it, but there's just nothing concrete. So I am prepared to throw this one out. I don't know. You agree?
Yeah.
I don't know why he's just decided that this is the guy. So I personally want to know a little bit more about the second sketch, you know, where it came from. Yeah. The police were clear that two different sketches were two different guys, not just a cleaned up image. And there was speculation that with the whole social media Snapchat thing, that potentially the first sketch was the actual bridge guy and the second sketch was the profile picture, but it doesn't look like that either. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know whether the second sketch is based on eyewitness testimony, but more it seems on the video. Maybe they've a better image that we haven't seen, but really that makes no sense because why not just show the image?
Yeah.
This new image comes with a new profile as well. So the new profile is that we're looking at a man aged between 20 and 30 with a youthful appearance, 5'6" to 5'10", weighing 80 to 90 kilos. How they can ascertain height, I'm not entirely sure because I don't know how you tell that from the video or the pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure how they come up with that. So yeah, what do you think about this image and this profile?
I'd like more information to how they're getting these. They've been very secretive with their evidence. So,
and to everyone who's just wondering what that noise was, that's Tyson running amok.
Sorry.
Dog running amok.
Just running around, hitting his tail at everything. I think he wants dinner.
Go lay down, Tyson.
Have to wait for a little bit. A little bit longer.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah. So thoughts on the image. Yeah, I see older guy vibes from the video.
Yeah, older guy vibes.
Baggy pants, heavy set. Yeah. Now, the police have said that they know who did it.
How different this case would be if it was now with how far phone cameras have come.
Yeah, so we're talking 5 years ago. So we did have phone cameras, but they, I have gotten a lot better since. Yeah,
I just upgraded my phone and I took some videos. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that is clear.
Yeah, well, I think
actually almost trippy when you look at a video recording, just how the movement, they're just so clear now.
I know. And I think also the video was on Snapchat. So I think going through the app as well made it a little bit grainy. Yeah. Now, the police have said that they know who did it. Like, they actually know who the culprit is, but they're just waiting for enough evidence to make an arrest. Interestingly, in March this year, the Indiana police requested that the height, weight, and possible age were removed from the missing flyer. So maybe it is an older guy. If we're going to remove all that stuff about, youthful appearance, 20 to 30, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Maybe we are looking at an older guy or a taller, heavier guy,
Yeah.
I do feel like behind the scenes, potentially police might be deciding on someone and ruling them out at the same, ruling other people out at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So overall thoughts on this case. Who do you think did it?
I don't know who did it. Don't know who did it. But at the same time, don't understand how we don't know who did it.
Yeah. So thoughts on the case though?
Very secretive. Just feel really depressed now.
It's sad. It's a really sad case.
I'm going to have to watch something funny after this to...
Seinfeld's my go-to.
Clear my mind because,
Seinfeld's my palate cleanser before bed.
Yeah. I just need something that requires no thought, no thinking.
No.
Because it's very...
It's depressing. It's awful.
Not have the closure.
Yeah. The poor family.
Yeah.
The other thing too is this has to be a local. This cannot be a blow-in. They must have known the area, known where to go, all of that. So yeah. I'm just surprised that nobody's gone, oh, look at that, that's Bob. I recognise him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really weird to me too.
But remember, shitty people sometimes attract other shitty people. So
that is true. That is true. Yeah. But shitty people know non-shitty people. So
yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm in two minds. I think that Keegan Klein and the Anthony Schott's profile is pretty compelling. I mean, that is the most solid evidence we have that he was talking to the girls the day before they died,
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I remember what it was like to be a 14-year-old girl, You just be crushing on every single guy.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. The guy pays you attention and, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we never had social media when we were kids, thank God. But imagine a gorgeous
young... Hey, calm down. I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
And we had MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace.
I was going to say, what? You're not that much younger than me.
Yeah, but don't try to pull me into the same category as you just yet, okay?
I tell you what, MySpace was around when I was younger, maybe not in school, but younger, but I just never did
it. MySpace was the big deal, and then just towards the end of high school, Facebook happened.
Okay.
Because I have flashback memory thingies on they should be mental flashbacks, but they're memories on Facebook where I just cringe at how lame I was. Like, yeah, why did I post that? Delete that memory.
I, for one, am glad I did not have social media in high school.
Yeah.
But imagine, you know, a gorgeous guy you don't realize about catfish yet. He's chatting to you. He wants to meet up with you at the bridge the next day. I can see you being excited about that, you know? Yeah. I totally can see sensibility going out the door.
Yeah.
It certainly wouldn't be the first or last time that someone was groomed and hurt in that way. Yeah. You know, the fact that this guy was a disgusting pedo says a lot too, you know. The only thing that gives me pause is that this guy clearly came to murder someone that day. He bought a gun. He bought a knife. He trapped the girls on the bridge. He had it all planned out. And Klein seems to have been more about the sexual side of things, and these girls weren't raped. But like we said,
Tyson, stop it. Get on your bed.
Yeah, like we said, it doesn't just have to be rape that's sexual. It can be just killing someone that's sexual. It would be a huge escalation too. Like, that's a lot to go through, you know, being a pedophile, grooming girls, sexually assaulting them, to planning an actual murder, a double murder at that, you know?
Yeah.
It's very coincidental, if not though, that he was in contact with the girls the night before. So I'm probably like 40% on him. Or even like him being part of a pedo network and sharing information and somebody else jumping on that information and doing something. You know, I think that's
potentially
a thing that could have happened as well. But I cannot go past how much Ron Logan looks like Bridge Guy. I just, same clothes, same hat, you know, live within walking distance of the murders.
Yeah.
It's really selling it to me.
Yeah.
So I'm like maybe 30% on him.
I definitely agree as well. That is uncanny how similar they look.
The other 30% is a rando that we don't know about yet. And, you know, maybe that falls into someone that Klein passed information on to or whatever. I think that someone went there with the intent of murdering someone that day. And, you know, that's really scary. I'd be interesting to know if there is any other offenders in the area who had, like, shown that escalation trajectory.
That's a big escalation.
Yeah, not often do people go from zero to double homicide with staging, you know. Like, that's a really, really big jump. So, I hope that the police have looked into that. I'm sure they have. I hope so much that this case is solved. It's just so frustrating because, you know, this brave girl got so much evidence for police at a time where she must have just been terrified. But they just can't use it to make anything stick. And I think that's the saddest part about the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
Is that her final act was to try and get information out there about someone who she was pretty sure was about to hurt her. And we just can't do anything with it. It's just so much but so little at the same time. It's really, really awful. But, yeah, I hope, you know, it feels as though things are ramping up with this case. It feels like they're getting more information. And like I said, they have basically said that they know who did it. They just need to get evidence. And that might be that they've got a DNA match. You know, maybe they've got a DNA match to someone, but as we know, DNA isn't enough. You need to have something else to tie you. So I hope, really, really hope that this is solved.
I don't understand how DNA isn't enough.
It's not enough because, well, one piece of evidence is never enough. Like, you can have anything, any bit of evidence, and that's not enough. You've always got to have corroborating evidence. And, you know, contamination happens, all sorts of stuff. So you basically, I mean, it's a long shot, but let's just say that it's Ron and his DNA is found under Libby's fingernails, or, you know, maybe it's found on her body somehow, but he lives on that land and maybe he took a piss in that exact area the day before. You know, there's always these off chances that something might not be right, so they always need to have something else to back it up. I just hope that they get him soon. If it is Ron Logan, though, he's dead. So, as I said, no justice there.
Yeah.
I think definitely looking at Keegan Klein and this Snapchat stuff. I mean, it's scary. If anyone's out there with young children, young girls especially, please don't let them have Snapchat. Please don't let them, you know, monitor them, basically. I mean, Snapchat's one of those ones where you can see where kids live. You know, you can actually see a pin on their house. So scary.
Yeah.
But, yeah, always monitor your kids' social media. I'm not saying they can't have it because this is the world that we live in, the day and age that we live in, but, yeah, just be so, so careful because there are predators out there, and unfortunately 14 and 13-year-old girls are not the best judge of character.
No, we are not.
No, absolutely. I'm just trying to even think what I was doing back then, and, yeah, I'm pretty sure my brain wasn't working at full potential back when I was 14. Yeah. But anyway, any final thoughts on this case?
I hope it gets solved soon.
Yeah, me too.
And justice.
It's definitely up there with, like, you know, if you could have 5 cases solved, it's definitely up there for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everyone, let us know what you think. Come and see us on Facebook and Instagram, and, yeah, we'll see what you all think about all of the stuff that's going on with it lately, and fingers crossed it gets solved.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, you better go feed Tyson before he destroys your entire house, and we will see everyone next week. Bye.
Okay. Bye.